This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to NSPS Radio Hour for this President's Day. Glad to have everybody joining us, and particularly glad to have Glenn Thurow with us today. Welcome, Glenn.
Thank you, Kurt. It's great to be with you this morning.
Glenn is out in Albuquerque, and I was thinking, Glenn, I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but my I don't know if most fond remembrances, but my early remembrances of Albuquerque, I think it was my very first trip there in 1992 to an ACSM-NSPS meeting, and the lady who was then managing the Surveyor Society in Virginia told me about this tram car that I needed to ride up to the top of a mountain and have dinner. And I'm sure you know I'm talking about Sandia, of course. And I had in my mind that this was going to be a train going up the mountain, not realizing it was actually a tramway. And so I talked to all my friends into going up there for dinner, and then I found out that it was a cable car, that it wasn't a train. And I don't do well with heights, as probably everybody who knows me knows well, but they wouldn't let me talk my way out of it. So
it is the longest tram in North America, I believe.
And yeah, as a matter of fact, that they kind of tout it as the longest in the world, which may be true. I don't know, but I know it goes up, what, about 6,000 feet or something, or maybe 4,000?
Closer to five, but four to five, somewhere in there. But you're right. If you're afraid of heights, it's not for the faint of heart.
I made it pretty well. Of course, my fingerprints, I'm told, all these years later, are still embedded on the poles in the middle where you hang on.
Yes, I think I saw them last time I went up the tram.
It wasn't comforting in any way to me once the driver found out that I was timid about heights when he informed me that at the lowest peak point in the swag, we were 1,200 feet or 6 seconds above the canyon floor.
Give you some time for thought and amendment of life if something happens.
Yeah, that's for sure. But I understand there's never actually been an accident there. So
no.
That's a good thing. Of course, when he told me that, I said, that just means you're overdue, so with my pessimistic attitude. But I do have to say that it was definitely worth the trip, getting up there, and we ended up having dinner up there, and just a gorgeous view from up there.
Yeah. One of our nice features out here in Albuquerque, in addition to the weather, is having the mountains as a backdrop to where you can go skiing in the morning and come down and play golf in the afternoon. So it's a nice area and one that I've grown particularly fond of over the years.
Now, are you a native of there, or did you move there from someplace else?
I was born in Chicago, but my family moved out here in about 1952, so that pretty well makes me close to a native. My dad got a job as a design drafter with, at the time it was known as the Atomic Energy Commission. And when we first moved out here, our relatives in Chicago did not really have a good sound concept of what it was like in New Mexico. So they used to send us boxes of canned goods, and we would write back and say, it's not necessary. They have supermarkets out here, and really it's not as primitive as you might imagine. So
they'd been watching too many Westerns, apparently.
So at any rate, I've been here away a time or two for my time in the service and a few other occasions, but what always draws me back is, I think, our climate and the green and red chili, which is unsurpassed. And we spell that C-H-I-L-E, chili, not the kind that you get out of a can, which is C-H-I-L-L-I, chili. Ours is, when we talk about our chili out here, it's always on, not on the front page along with train wrecks and some of the other things. It's always back on the social pages of our paper. But if you've never had a craving for green chili, then you probably don't appreciate what it's like not to have it for a while. But at any rate.
I'm not, not sure where it stands, and I don't remember the name of the place, but I do recall being at a WestFed meeting a few years ago and going out with the group to a restaurant for chili, and it was very good.
It's our specialty. Only in New Mexico.
Well, I'm so pleased to have you with me today, and I hope our listeners have read in the NSPS News and Views that this week and next I'm going to be talking with the candidates for the office of NSPS President-elect in our upcoming elections, which will begin fairly soon, actually. We're going to be doing it as an electronic voting, but we're going to be doing it relatively soon. So I wanted to have an opportunity to chat with you and Tony about your perspectives on NSPS and your perspectives on working into the leadership. And I do need to preface this by saying that this isn't new to you. You've obviously served on our Board of Governors for some time, and then actually, I guess, on the Board of Directors when we went and made our changeover with the state joint membership program there for a while. And you've also been really active in our CST program, and particularly from the education side. So I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit before we get into the interrogation, but if you would like to, I'm sure the audience would like to hear about it.
Well, sure. And I also wanted to say that I appreciate the opportunity that you're affording me to speak this morning and to address some of the things that I think are particularly important in any leadership role with NSPS. But before we go there, let's provide our listeners with an update on CST, or Certified Surveying Technician, and the work that I and Alan Sheese with Spatial Media Incorporated, who are the publishers of American Surveyor, are attempting to do, and that is build a website, a portal, if you will, that will allow prospective CST candidates to perhaps hone their skills a bit before actually sitting down and taking the exam. So right now, we have CST Level 1 that has been active since about July. And I looked yesterday, and there are 575 established accounts in that CST Level 1. And, of course, some of them haven't logged on in a while because I think they've finished the training. I've left them there because I feel that once we get CST Level 2 and 3 online, that these same individuals will probably be interested in continuing their progression through the training materials, which hopefully will manifest itself in their sitting down and taking the exam. It has been very educational for me as well, because I asked everyone to give me an introduction. And some have simply said, I'm a surveyor trainee, and they do not amplify that. But others go to greater lengths to discuss where they are in their careers, what they've been doing, and what they hope for. And from that, I get a lot of insight as to where we are as a profession in terms of our bringing up our technicians and mentoring our technicians. Some of these individuals are new to surveying. They're just starting out. And others have been surveying for quite some time but have never pursued either professional licensing or, in this case, certification. But they've made the conscious decision to do so now. So I think as soon as we can get Level 2 online, which we're getting close to having that available as well, that we're going to see a concerted effort on the part of technicians to go after that certification as being an important component of their careers.
That's a really good tool that I know there's been discussion about trying to do something that like you guys have been able to pull together for a long time. We just never had champions, really, to get it done. You guys have done a really great job with that, and I too believe that our roles within CST will grow even further with this availability, because I'm sure you're aware, ever since CST has existed, there have been requests and inquiries about whether or not we provided something like this, and so just at this point, we're beginning to actually do it. So I really do think it's going to make a big difference.
And just, I need everyone to remember that it is a work in progress, both for level one, which has been online, and of course for the levels two and three. But the venue that it's being offered through is something that we're still looking at in terms of how do we make the training available in a format that is most conducive to the education that we want to impart to our prospective CST candidates. So there have been some tweaks and changes that we've made, and more are contemplated in the future. So hopefully this is dynamic in nature, and we're far from simply saying this is it and take it or leave it. I mean, we're really trying to turn this into a venue that is going to be used and will add to the credentialing of our prospective CST candidates and be worthwhile for their time and effort in pursuing their education through this means.
Yeah, we're very pleased that it is moving in that direction, because I myself can't even tell you how old CST is, but it's been around a really long time. So it's very encouraging and rewarding to see that we're heading in that direction to help people get prepared and assess their own status, if you will, in terms of going ahead and pursuing the CST, whatever level they're going toward. And I guess it's worth saying in our last minute here before we go to our first break, level four won't be a part of this, if I'm understanding this correctly, because it's a project-based
yes, and
part of the program.
I think level four would be pretty difficult to put in this kind of a venue, simply because of the nature of level four. But if we have 10 more seconds before we go to break, I will mention that I'm also hoping that this might be a segue into the fundamentals of surveying exam for some people who might want to start here, but then working towards their actual surveyor and training by taking the fundamentals exam.
Right. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. It's a good sounding board, if that's the right terminology, for them to use as they prepare to go in there, because of our licensing structures. So we are at our first break. Let's go do that, and we'll be right back and talk about the election.
And here's something new from Schonstedt. Did you know that Schonstedt has upped the ante on trade-ins? Now you can trade in any instrument, theirs or a competitor's, in any condition, working or not, and receive more in trade than ever before. Plus, they'll pay the freight both ways. Contact your local dealer for details or go to Schonstedt.com. That's Schonstedt.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Quick Stakes is your answer to staking. Lightweight, easy to ride on, easy to use, easy to find, and won't break your back carrying them like the old-fashioned wooden stakes. Have you tried a sample? If not, get a pen and paper and write down this number, 800-438-0387, or go to quickstake.com, that's QUIKSTAKE.com, and order your samples. Ask your surveying supply dealer for Quick Stakes today.
And here's something new from Schonstedt. Did you know that Schonstedt has upped the ante on trade-ins? Now you can trade in any instrument, theirs or a competitor's, in any condition, working or not, and receive more in trade than ever before. Plus, they'll pay the freight both ways. Contact your local dealer for details or go to Schonstedt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back, everyone. We're with Glenn Thurow again today talking about, we just finished talking about CST, and we're going to be talking about his candidacy for president-elect of NSPS. Glenn, we could talk. I know that the next thing we're going to talk about a little bit is an important thing to you, and also it's an important thing for NSPS, although we're speaking in the context of some statistics that have come out fairly recently from NCES, and there's lots of other questions going on about examinations and experience routes and all those kind of things that are in the news these days. So if you would like to chat about that a little bit, maybe we can talk about these statistics, and perhaps even the new publication we've both received recently.
Sure. I think that we need to be cognizant of the fact that as surveyors, we are competing for the future. And this is a fact whether we as surveyors choose to acknowledge it or not. And in competing for the future, we need to be looking at those individuals that are perhaps coming up behind us, and meaning particularly exam takers of the fundamentals of surveying exam. And a publication that recently came out by NCWS called Squared highlighted some statistics for the last fiscal year for NCWS, which runs from October 1st of 2013 through September 30th of 2014. And it is troubling to me to see the falling numbers of fundamentals of surveying exam takers. For the fiscal year 2014, we only had 726 takers nationally of the fundamentals of surveying exam, and of that, there was only about a 60% pass rate. Essentially, that means then that we've got about 387 individuals that were determined to be minimally competent in understanding the fundamentals of our surveying profession. So we really need to ask ourselves, why are so few taking the exam, and why is the pass rate so low? And this, I think, is going to be a challenge for the surveying profession, and a challenge for NSPS coming up in the future. Our current NCWS president is formed a special ad hoc task force to study the question as to why these numbers are falling. That would be David Whitmer out of Pennsylvania. And that task force will be meeting again at the end of this month. They've met once already, I believe. And I'm hoping
is this the future of surveying when you're talking about?
Yes, the future of surveying task force that will
be. And that's the one that they actually asked me. I'm not part of that task force, but they've asked me to sit with them, which I was appreciative of the opportunity. I hope that means they're recognizing that our two organizations need to work collectively on this.
And it does, and I think that's very positive that you are there, because NSPS has to be involved with this issue. It's probably one of the greatest threats to our surveying profession in the future is that we have these falling numbers. Additionally, something that's troubling me is the amount of professional surveying exam takers, the principles and practices exam. Those two data points, if you were to graph them out, they're converging. In other words, the number of fundamentals of surveying exam takers and the number of principals surveying exam takers are beginning to converge. And to me, what this signifies is that we have a lack of mentoring going on because we have so few in the pipeline. The other statistic out of this squared report was the age of the surveyors taking the fundamentals, or prospective surveyors, I should say. For the fundamentals of surveying, the exam was age was about 33 years of age. Now, you want to compare that with the fundamentals of engineering, the average age of that examinee, which was about 25. So what we have here is a much older age group taking the exam, well, by about 8 years. If you look at the professional surveying exam takers, their average age was around 36, and if you compare that with the average age of the engineering, professional engineering exam, their age is about 32. So our numbers are down, but also our age group is higher. The last statistic I think I saw about the average age of a surveyor in the United States was that that surveyor was about 58 years old, and I believe that's still accurate. I remember several years ago when I started looking at the age group, I think it was about 54 or 55. What this means is that with every passing year, our average age actually goes up by 1 year. So that's another troubling trend that needs to be looked at, analyzed, and addressed.
Yeah, one would think that with large numbers of us being in that age group that you're talking about and retiring or in some cases passing away, that would have an impact in the other direction. But I guess what it really means is that we're not bringing in enough people to replace those folks, at least at those earlier ages.
I think that's correct, and you're right, and eventually we're all going to fall off the graph, and then your average age will probably come down because there'll be so few of us that are around, but
right
now it is still troubling because if you look at the number of fundamentals of surveying exam takers, and you look at the average age of the exam takers, you look at the average age of the existing surveying community, you see some trend lines that are going to basically cause us to be a very diminished occupation or profession going forward and looking maybe 10, 12 years out, something like that. It can become a critical mass. And again, that's just a concern that NSPS should have at the forefront in working with NCWS on trying to reverse this trend and get some healthier numbers in there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, that actually brings into play another discussion, if you will, that's been going on now for a bit, and that regards the actual requirements and concern. There's been a really recent case where concern was expressed because of an issue in Idaho where they were having legislation to try to expand the definition of surveying to encompass more activities, and that got perceived as saying, well, you can be experienced in some of these things, but you might get a license without even being experienced in the boundary side, which is the underpinning, of course, of licensure over time. And I personally didn't read it that way. I read it that this legislation opened up more activity. It didn't say that your experience still has to be determined by the board itself in terms of what you need to have done to be qualified to sit for the exam. But these types of things do raise questions in terms of all of these things, and I agree with you that NSPS does need to be at the forefront of all that.
And they're all interrelated, I think.
I agree. Yeah.
You can't look at it as a separate issue. I think all of these things combine to create a situation where we're going to have to address a lot. If you've built the past and you've been very involved in the past, the temptation to preserve it can be overwhelming. And I think that we need to be looking at these issues in a new light. I agree that I've carefully read the legislation out of Idaho, and I think there's a lot of misinformation out there right now. Because I don't think what Idaho is saying is that we're going to jettison boundary surveying. I think that they've been very careful to word it in such a way that it can offer, to me, it is a better depiction of where the surveying profession is today than, you know, we have to understand the difference between yesterday and tomorrow. And I think Idaho is what they're attempting to do is to update the definition to be more encompassing of what the surveying profession today encompasses. But I also noticed that they put in something, a word, very important word, called authoritative location. And this, to me, kind of follows the thought processes of the FIG definition, if you're familiar with that. But it is dependent upon the authoritative location of anything. And to me, that's an important component of that Idaho legislation, and one that they were careful to add to it. And I think because of that, that they have avoided some of the fuzzy language that might accompany definitions of surveying as a profession. So while I understand the concern by many about Idaho's proposal, I don't think that it is the draconian measure that some have portrayed it to be.
Yeah, and that was my interpretation as well as I was reading it. And again, it's easy to everybody's going to read things a little bit differently. And so I guess the biggest part of this part of our conversation is that discourse needs to occur similar to our conversation here today in terms of let's really stop and think and talk about these things rather than automatically assume that it's going to mean something that may not be intended or may not even be on anybody's thought.
Sure. I mean, so, we need to create space for dissent and dialogue, for sure.
Yeah,
but we also need to be receptive to listening to new ideas and give them their due consideration. And I don't know how much time we have left before
we have about 15 seconds.
About 15 seconds. All right, good. I'm glad I asked. So, you know, sometimes I think that we're too... I made the statement that good ideas sometimes are dragged down a dark alley to be strangled without giving due consideration, and that could be the case.
Maybe we can pick up on that a little bit when we come back.
Very good.
Quick Stakes is your answer to staking. Lightweight, easy to ride on, easy to use, easy to find, and won't break your back carrying them like the old-fashioned wooden stakes. Have you tried a sample? If not, get a pen and paper and write down this number, 800-438-0387, or go to quickstake.com, that's quickstake.com, and order your samples. Ask your surveying supply dealer for Quick Stakes today.
Schonstedt Instrument Company has been making locating easier since 1953. First, with its yellow stick, the GA52CX, the industry standard for sensitivity. Then, the GA72CD, a shorter and more rugged version offering a magnetic polarity display and a battery and sensitivity indicator. And most recently, the GA92XT, built for portability. It retracts to fit in its holster and extends for one-handed operation and fingertip control. See them all at Schonstedt.com. That's Schonstedt.com.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Schonstedt, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com. And thank you.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
We're back for our third segment today with Glenn Thurow talking about NSPS. Our discussion to our audience, Glenn, may not have appeared to them to be related to the upcoming election, but I think it's been very reflective, actually, of your thoughts on the profession and NSPS, and we'll delve into that a little bit more as we go along. At this time of the show, though, is when our sponsor, Parker Davis Quick Stakes, has our competition for the week, the Parker Davis Quick Stakes Contest, and as our listeners know, I'll ask you a question, and whatever answer you give, the first person to send that in to quickstakescontest@americaswebradio.com will be our winner for the day. So the question is just simply this. We were talking about CST earlier, so if you would tell the audience what that acronym stands for.
Sure. The acronym stands for Certified Survey Technician.
That's the answer we're looking for from folks today, Certified Survey Technician. As we've had this conversation, some of the questions I had in mind were your thoughts on where NSPS has been in recent years and what we've accomplished and some of the things we've done, but also what NSPS needs to be doing moving in the future. And I think our conversation so far is somewhat reflective of your thoughts on some of the things at least NSPS should be doing on this particular issue, and I'm sure there are others as well. So if you want to follow up any further on that particular one, we can do that and then maybe get into some more generalized questioning.
Sure. We can talk about some of the things that some of the accomplishments of NSPS over the last 5 years, and I think they are many. One of them, of course, is the 100% membership initiative. That I think has been a major accomplishment and a plus for NSPS. The response was overwhelming. And I think exceeded everyone's expectations. But some of the other things that NSPS has done particularly well, and it's related to this question about looking forward, is the communications that NSPS has launched over the last 5 years. And I'm thinking of things like News and Views, the dual frequency blog, Facebook, even this broadcast, reaching out to members more than ever before. And I've always maintained that information is power. And so the more information that NSPS can give its membership, the more it's serving its membership in that capacity, the more power we're putting in our membership's hands. So that's why I think it's related to this discussion about the surveying profession and its direction in the future. You know, we can't intercept the future by staying in the past. And so I think it's important that we be looking in that direction. The capacity to outrun our competitors and get to the future first is really important. And when I say competitors, you might say, well, who are our competitors? And that is every other spatial analysis, occupation, or profession that is out there looking at spatial data. And we need to anticipate and work with them, actually. You know, that's just That's a competitor for our future and one that we need to recognize and basically get there first. So, you know, to me, that's an important component. But, you know, another way to look at this is the way that our accomplishments of NSPS has impacted our organization. And I remember when we had the 100% membership initiative vote here in New Mexico, it required a conscious decision on the part of our membership, an affirmation on the part of those voting to join up NSPS, that NSPS represents good value. And I like the fact that we had a vote during our convention. It was a ballot where you marked that you wanted to either join or not join the 100% membership initiative. And we had, I think, a 95% affirmation vote. And to me, that's significant. And that's the one thing that has really impacted our organization then is our local chapter members, our society members in New Mexico, made a conscious decision and affirmed NSPS as a value. So I think that's a good way to show the value of NSPS and to have our memberships sort of buy in, if you will. You know, and then I think we need to look at what the major challenges are going to be to our organization in the next 5 years. And concern for me always is sufficient revenue to fund the kind of activities that our members are going to want. You know, with the dramatic increase of membership, we need to maintain the membership services that are expected by our membership. And I think that one of the greatest strengths we have right now is our staff, because even with the increased numbers, our staff has done some amazing things with the resources that are at their disposal. But as more and more members come online, I think last time I saw we had something like 12,000 members, with more coming online in 2015. That the demands on the staff may increase, and we need to be able to respond to that, respond to those requests in a timely manner. So, again, that's related to revenue. So that's a concern of mine and something that we need to look at over the next 5 years.
And speaking of those kind of things, Glenn, I think you may be aware, I think you are fairly new, but it is CST related, and that's the arrangement we made with the military, whereby the people who are in that technician level, which basically equates to surveying, we now have arrangements to provide CST testing in levels 1, 2, and 3 ultimately, and the reason I brought that up was that will add demand to what we do here on staff, obviously, because the numbers are going to go up some. And
sure.
as those accomplishments occur, and everybody's really proud of that accomplishment, but you're right, it does mean we stretch our human resources for sure.
Yes, and so I think that has to be looked at. You know, we, along with strengths, of course, it could also be looked at as a weakness in terms of the limited resources and the relationship to the tasks that NSPS will be asked to do. And so, again, that goes back to sufficient revenue streams. And I'm not talking about raising dues at this point or anything like that if we were to look at that. But we just need to be conscious of the fact that our resources are going to be stretched going forward, and we're going to need to address that in some fashion to ensure that we're still able to fulfill the mission that NSPS has set for itself. So we'll be looking at that in going forward in the future. You know, and then I guess the question is, well, what do you hope to do to to strengthen NSP is in the future for any, either for Tony or myself, whoever is elected. And I think there's a lot that can be done to strengthen NSPS in the future. And I look at things like NCEES has a new director of public affairs, Nina Norris, and she has placed a great deal of emphasis on reaching out to younger surveyors in terms of they've created a group called NCEES Emerging Engineers and Surveyors Group. It's a group of young professionals, meaning 35 or under. And this, to me, is something that could interface quite nicely with the NSPS Young Surveyors Outreach. Amanda Askren and her group that are starting to do a lot in that direction. So there's a lot of synergy, I think, to be gained by working with NCEES, and can also help solve that fundamentals of surveying, the falling number of exam takers, by having a concerted effort.
Did I lose you, or did I get go off the line myself?
Pardon me?
Are you still there?
Oh, I'm still here.
For some reason, I lost you there. I don't know if it was something in my phone or what happened, but it just went dead on me. And I was like, "Oh gosh, this isn't good." But I'm glad you're still there.
Yeah, I'm still here. And Kurt, you missed a beautiful summation of the meaning of life. While you were gone.
Well, I agree with you that with that synergy, and obviously NCES is one of the places for us to find that, and we have really worked with them well, and they've worked with us well over a long period of time on things, but I think having that kind of connection with them and other similar groups just strengthens us. Sometimes people seem to want to think that when you do those kind of things, it weakens you in some way, and I don't see that at all.
No. I think reaching out to other professional societies as well, like ASCE and the National Society of NSPE, National Society of Engineers. You know, those are the kinds of things that can help strengthen both your organization and the organization that you're interfacing with. You know, and some of the other things I think that we could do to strengthen NSPS, I'd like to see NSPS do a little bit more about developing position statements or issues in advocacy. And, of course, the danger is when you develop a position that you're going to alienate some. Some will be gratified that your position is aligned with their thinking, and others will disagree with the position that you take. But I think that it's an important component of an organization. Issues in advocacy, position statements, and I'd also like to see NSPS do something with the surveying body of knowledge and actually refine and adopt a position concerning the body of knowledge for surveying. And it would be something that would be similar to what NSPE and ASCE and other organizations have done in codifying this body of knowledge into something that we can sort of rally around, if you will. So that's something I'd like to see. I'd like to see a president's message in News and Views, maybe not every week, but I'd like to see the president be writing papers or articles that is expressing.
We're going to have to go to our break, Glenn. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
We're at our break. We'll pick up on that when we come back.
Okay.
Getting into underground utility location? If so, you'll want to know about the Schonstadt Instrument Company's MPC kit, a multi-purpose combo for locating both ferrous objects and underground pipes and cables. And because it consists of two instruments in one package, it qualifies for trade-in allowances on two locators. Any kind, any make, any condition. Contact your dealer for details. Or visit www.schonstadt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
Quick Stakes. Does your survey supply dealer have Quick Stakes? If not, demand that they start carrying Quick Stakes. Did you know that Quick Stakes are better for your back than your local chiropractor? Lightweight and easier to use than the old heavy wooden stake. Order a sample today and prove it to yourself. Quick Stakes, your back-friendly stake.
Attention surveyors, are you aware that that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com. And thank you.
You're listening to americaswebradio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back, everyone. We are talking with Glenn Thurow today regarding his thoughts about NSPS as we move toward the oncoming election for president-elect, of which Glenn is one of our candidates. And before we went to break, we were talking about finding ways to provide our input more meaningfully and perhaps more timely, which we find to be an issue sometimes, and understanding that we're a national organization, of course, but I think you're on target in terms of the fact that we need to for the benefit of our members and the benefit of the profession, be able to do that better.
Yes, and I think we can establish a mechanism that would allow for debate and discussion, and then formalizing a position, and then putting that position on the website that would allow anyone at a glance to see where NSPS stands on a particular issue. And, of course, that's dynamic in nature as well. So that would be one thing that I would hope that we'd be able to do as well going forward. We were talking about staffing needs. Something that could be considered were resources available to allow for it would be to have somebody that could be titled, for instance, director of marketing or director of communication. I know that's being done now by Trish and Sarah, but if we had someone devoted to that, that could perhaps better communicate not only internally, but I think we need to look outward as well. And one of the things that surprised me, perhaps it shouldn't have, but it did, is I was recently involved with Future Cities competition here in Albuquerque in New Mexico. NCWS established a Best Surveying Practices Award, and I worked as a judge, and so we had all of these mid-schoolers that were doing their future cities, and a component of that was to be involved with surveying. And it was a surprise to me that how little was understood about what the role of the surveyor would be in the planning of a future city. Now, the one that actually won the award, the name of the city was Omicom, and they had actually laid it out on a grid, and one of the students showed me where 00 coordinate value was and then explained to me how on the grid coordinate system they were laying out the infrastructure of their city, and they got the award. But most often, the students had no concept of what the role of the surveyor would be. So when I talk about outreach, looking externally rather than internally, I think that a director of communications or director of marketing might fulfill that role in working in those kinds of venues to reach out to our communities and to work perhaps a little bit more closely with state societies in their marketing efforts to have a unified, cohesive program that would basically get the word to our secondary school systems about careers and surveying. So that would be something I'd like to look at as well. But, you know, if you were to sum up a philosophy of leadership, or my philosophy of leadership, I think that the leader needs to have a vision of where they want to take the organization, you know, why they want to take it there, and how they're going to do it. So I think unity of purpose with a clear set of goals for our profession basically is something that's desirable. We need to be held in high esteem in public outreach. And again, turning outwards and not be too focused on internal matters, even though that's important. So, just going forward, that would be something I would emphasize that is an important component of NSPS. And then one other item is when we look at the committee structures of NSPS, and we have quite a few standing committees, I would like to see the committees actually at the annual meeting, either in the spring, probably the spring, that the committee would be given charges to look at between the spring meeting and then give a report at the fall meeting, so that there's some direction is actually given the committees in the form of a charge, meaning that your committee is assigned the following task, and to look at that task and report back to the full board of directors on what has been accomplished concerning those charges that were handed out. So that is something that we might consider. And then finally, the role of NSPS in continuing professional competency, or PDH's professional development hours. And while NSPS should not be in competition with state societies, because that's an important revenue stream for them, and that's to be acknowledged, I think NSPS might be doing some things concerning the quality of that continuing professional competency or the continuing education. There is an organization that I'm sure some of our members would be familiar with. It's IACET, or the International Association of Continuing Education and Training. Basically, it works as a clearinghouse for people that are providing continuing education to present their credentials to IACET, and then if they pass the tests of the organization, they are basically certified as an IACET education provider. So there could be things that NSPS could do to help raise the bar somewhat on some of the things that are being offered as to the surveying community for continuing education and satisfying the PDH requirements that most states have for licensure renewal. So these are some things that can be explored and perhaps acted upon in the coming years.
And you know, one of the things I've looked at, too, with regard to continuing education classes and being licensed in a couple of states, obviously I'm involved in that process as well as providing some of the instruction from time to time. But I would think and hope that NSPS could help in the same manner you're talking about to identify new material, if you will, or meaningful material on particular subjects, because it seems to me so many times, even within where I am required to get my coursework, we see the same things over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for anyone. I mean, this would be a national effort, obviously, and you want to get the state societies involved in looking at it. But and I get those kind of questions all the time from the state executives, actually, where they say, do you know anybody who can do something different? But I think you're onto something. If we had a way to to gather that information and work with it and look at it from a content perspective and value perspective, and help the states to be able to provide something that's out of the ordinary or maybe on different topics. One of the things I don't often see is actual business practice. I mean, you get some of that, but maybe not at the level you'd like to see.
Yeah, and the quality, you know, is going to vary greatly from venue to venue, from state to state. One of the things that NSPS could be looking at is some sort of an education standard for PDH or continuing professional competency providers, and so that you have some assurance that the education that my PDH that I get here in New Mexico is the same kind of quality that somebody, for instance, in Colorado getting a PDH, or Utah, or, you know, North Carolina. So again, that's why if you look at that IASET, that's an organization that is attempting to establish that standard, and it might behoove us to take a look at that as something that NSPS could be involved with and work with state societies, not at cross purposes or an attempt to limit what they're able to do, but work with them as a constructive partner in advancing the kinds of continuing education that I think surveyors need. You know, our floor and our walls around surveying are crumbling, and I think one of the ways that we can advance ourselves as a profession is to increase our continuing educational competencies as we go forward. And NSPS can be at the forefront of this. And hopefully that would be something that we could pursue in the future years.
Well, our time flies by. We have about 2 minutes left, so I don't know if you have anything in particular you want to share with everyone in the last couple of minutes, if we've missed anything, I suppose.
I guess I could just end with kind of my philosophy of leadership. And quite a few years ago, I became familiar with Robert K. Greenleaf in the Greenleaf Institute of Servant Leadership. And it's based on an essay that he first published in 1970 on servant leadership. I refer to it as leadership with a small L. But essentially, a servant leader focuses primarily on the growth and well-being of the people and communities to which they belong. So the servant leader is a servant first, and it begins with a natural feeling that one wants to serve and to serve first, and then a conscious choice brings one to aspire to lead. So I've tried to emulate those sentiments in both my positions of employment. And I would try to bring those same kinds of sentiments to NSPS as being a servant first and aspiring to serve the surveying community, and then from that being able to lead. So
I was just going to say I subscribe to that same theory. I think you're exactly right, and I hate for us to cut short. We're 15 seconds away, so...
Well, I would do my utmost in any position of leadership with NSPS, and so if that is enough to solicit a support from our membership, so be it.
That's great. Thanks so much for being with me today, Glenn. I really appreciate your input, and I know our listeners will as well.
Thank you for the opportunity, Kurt.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.